Amen. Let us turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. But I'll just read verse 30. The book of Acts, chapter 16, and verse 30. The Bible says, "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Praise God. The title of this message is From Ruin to Redemption. Amen. There is a question. If we ask that question, it can take us from ruins, from destruction, to redemption. Praise God. But unfortunately, today, many people are asking the wrong questions. But we are going to look at a man today who asked the right question. But before that, we will look at the story and the power of Jesus that led this man to ask this question. Praise God. You know, we need to pray to the Lord Jesus to help people to ask the right question. Because it is the right question which will save. Amen. But if people do not ask the right questions, they do not get the correct answer. People today are asking questions for this world. They are asking questions for their flesh. They're asking questions to get temporary solutions to superficial problems. So it needs prayer. It needs us to ask the Lord, please help people around us to ask the right question. Amen. The moment people begin to ask the right questions, it's easy to lead them to salvation in Jesus' name. But if they're not asking the right questions, or if they're asking trivial, banal, pointless questions, what is the football score today? Who won this match? These are the questions people are asking. We need to pray that people will be led by the Lord Jesus to ask the right questions in order to be saved. Praise God. And we are going to talk about the story of a man whom Jesus led him to ask the right question in the place called Philippi. Praise God. Now, we need to go back and look at this the story of Philippi in general. We know that the Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul actually wanted to go to Asia. And suddenly he saw a vision at night. In the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us." Praise God. Macedonia is where you have the city of Philippi. Praise God. So, what we can immediately conclude from this verse is that there were people looking for salvation in the city of Philippi. Let me tell you, the gospel always goes to the places where people are hungry, where people want to know, how can I be saved? What is the name of the savior of my soul? What is the name of the God who can deliver me from sin? Who can give me peace, eternal life? And God showed Paul that in the city of Philippi, in Macedonia, there were people who were ready to receive the gospel. Hallelujah. Let me first state, it is wonderful when the Lord will miraculously lead us to the places where people are hungry. We need to pray more for this. Lord, please take me to some place at a certain time so that I will be at the right place at the right time to meet the Macedonian man or Macedonian woman. Let me encourage you in this time before Christmas, where a lot of people seem to be going out. All of them seem to be gathering together at the different shopping centers in this country and all over the West. Why don't you pray before you go out and say, Lord, take me to a shopping center. Let me be at the right place at the right time to meet someone like the man of Macedonia, someone who is hungry for you, someone whom I can share salvation with, someone whom I can lead, someone I can lead to Jesus. Amen. That will be the best shopping trip of your life. Amen. Because that's where people meet today. That's where people go today. You know, if Jesus was in the flesh today here in the West, he would go to the shopping center. I show you. He always went where people congregated together. So be aware that you may be shopping, but Jesus is also shopping for souls. Hallelujah. Jesus is always fishing for souls. So wherever you go, go fishing with Jesus. Go shopping with Jesus. So we know that the Apostle Paul was given divine direction. Go to Macedonia. And whenever God will lead you to a place, to a people, you will never be wasting your time. Before long, the people who are to be saved will come. But notice another thing. God led Paul and Silas to Philippi. They knew that they were in the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. There is something called the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. There is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And the Apostle Paul and Silas knew that they were in the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in Philippi. So why did it seem that everything that could go wrong was going wrong? When the Apostle Paul was walking around looking for people to witness to, he was followed by a young girl. And this young girl, she had the spirit of divining, the spirit of a soothsayer's spirit. And she basically was prophesying through this demon that was in her, that these are the servants of the Most High God. And they show you the way of salvation. Now, when you hear these words, it's easy to be tempted, isn't it, and say, amen, this is all good. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16 and verse 17. The book of Acts chapter 16 and verse 17. The Bible says, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. But see, here is the problem. Look at what the devil is saying here. He's saying, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now we know that the devil can never be saved. So the devil wanted to somehow partner with the gospel, with the Apostle Paul. He wanted to cheat them. But remember what the same Apostle Paul told the church of Corinth? He said, there is nothing in common between Jesus and the devil. There's nothing in common at all. Please, I beg you, saints of God, never think that there can be any commonality, any compromise, any... Let's read 2 Corinthians from chapter 6, verse 14. The Apostle Paul was very consistent. He did not waffle. He was not somebody who changed his words. He had clarity of moral vision. He told the Corinthians, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, hallelujah. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So when you read the scripture, you realize that the Apostle Paul was always consistent. He always practiced what he preached. So when he saw that there's this girl following him, she is demon-possessed, she's not in control of herself, the spirit in her is a demonic spirit, and the spirit is making money and business for the men who are following her, and Christ came to set the captives free. Can we say Jesus came to set the captives free? The Apostle Paul could not accept this. Jesus could not accept this. We can never accept to partner with that which is not from God. Amen? When we do the work of God, we do not walk around with Trinitarians. Amen? We don't walk around with people who say God is three. We don't preach together with them. We don't have the Lord's Supper with them. We don't joke around with them. Amen? We believe in one God. If somebody does not believe God is one and Jesus is the same God, we will not preach with you. We will not baptize people with you if you don't believe that baptism is in the name of Jesus, because salvation is only in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We recognize no other God except Jesus. He is one. He is alone. There is no God beside him. And we cannot compromise his gospel. We cannot change the word of God. And this is how the apostle, we are apostolic people. We are following in the footsteps of the apostles. The apostle Paul is an apostle. Amen. Let's behave like him. I'm giving you scriptures. Amen. And the scriptures are very clear. Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul turned around in Philippi. He knew that he's taking a risk. He grew up in the Roman and the Greek world. He knows their culture. He knows this is going to cause him problems. That's why he waited. He's not a hasty person. People think Paul was a hasty guy. He was not. When you study, actually, you will find that the Apostle Paul, look at Acts chapter 16, verse 18. Acts 16, verse 18. The Bible says, this did she many days. Somebody say she did this many days. Many days. So why didn't the Apostle Paul cast out the demon? He knows they're going to attack him. This is big business. Let me tell you, the business of the devil is always big business. It's big business. It will cost us. If you get serious to destroy the work of the devil, it will cost you. It will cost you to ruin the work of the devil. But may God give us the courage he gave the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was patient, but many days. But one day, the Bible says, one day, hallelujah, he had enough. You see, he was looking for the man of Macedonia. But right now, the devil brought him a girl of Macedonia. But no problem. You know why? Every soul, girl, a boy, a man, is a soul. Before the Apostle Paul delivered the man of Macedonia, God used him to deliver the girl of Macedonia. Amen? Can we say amen? The first person he delivered in Jesus' name is this girl. He cast out the devil in Jesus' name. Praise God. It's okay to be beaten as long as you cast out the devil in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So that was the first victory in Philippi. Hallelujah. You see, if Paul calculated the cost. He knows to touch the business of demons is dangerous. But what do I get in return? What does Jesus get in return? He gets a soul. This young girl had to wake up every morning. She doesn't go to school. Where are her parents? She doesn't have a life of her own. She cannot build a family. She cannot marry and have children because the devil was married to her. The devil was controlling her. Oh, God is good. You know, we forget to thank the Lord we only thank God for the Philippian jailer. But before we talk about the Philippian jailer, let's talk about this girl. Hallelujah. Let's praise Jesus for what he did. Hallelujah. He delivered this girl. Praise God. She's free to go and live her life. Be a young girl. Enjoy your life, young girl. Go back home. Go to your parents. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus came to set the captives free. He came that we might have life and life in abundance. Praise Jesus. So the devil was so mad that he said, catch this guy and beat him. The Apostle Paul is used to getting beaten. That's not a problem for him. He's used to being a punching bag. I mean, the Apostle Paul could have made good money being a sparring boxing partner for boxers. He's just used to getting beaten up for the sake of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. As long as she's free to go, the Apostle Paul is not worried for his safety. Can we love souls like the Apostle Paul? Can we ask Jesus, Lord, help me to love souls like the Apostle Paul? He calculated the cost. What will you give for a soul, brothers and sisters? Are we happy that only we are saved? Have we become cowards? We don't want to take any more risks. All we do now is hide our salvation. We don't want to provoke anyone. We tell people, if you wish to receive Jesus, do you want to receive Jesus? Maybe, maybe not. What have we become? What kind of witnesses have we become? Do we love souls like Jesus loves souls? Do we hate the work of the devil as the Lord Jesus hated the work of the devil? And the Apostle Paul hated the work of the devil. He snatched the soul out of the jaws of death in Jesus' name. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank God for this great man of God, the Apostle Paul. for his bravery, for his courage. Hallelujah. And so that was the this was the first person delivered there. Now, the Apostle Paul had to continue to pray, to pay many terrible costs. You can know how angry the devil is by how much he persecutes you. It was not enough to give the Apostle Paul and Silas a terrible beating. After that, the devil said, I'm going to throw them into prison. Let them rot in prison. So they were bloodied, they were beaten to pulp, and they were thrown into prison. And they thought, we've gotten rid of them. But they were forgetting. This man, the Apostle Paul, saw a vision. A vision. Somebody say, a vision. He knew this is not the end. Amen. He saw a vision of the man of Macedonia saying, Paul, come over and help us. Amen. Help us, Paul. Boiteo in Greek. We need help. Hallelujah. Some soul is crying somewhere today. Paulos, boiteo. Boiteo, come and help us. We are dying. We are surrounded by evil spirits. We have Apollos, we have Zeus, we have Aphrodite, we have all these nonsensical gods. Paul, come. You have the anointing. Boiteo, save us. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us to hear the voice of the lost souls. May you hear the voice of the lost soul in London, in Oslo, in Mumbai, in Toronto, in Maidstone, in wherever you are, in Jesus' name. May it disturb us at night. May we wake up and cry and say, I hear the voice of the man of Massive. I hear the voice of the man of Toronto. I hear the voice of the man of London. I hear the voice of the man of Mumbai shouting, crying to me. Boiteo, come, we are dying. Help us in Jesus' name. That's why Paul and Silas were singing in prison. Amen. You know, when you know the end of the story, you will sing. Hallelujah. You know, this is not the end. You cannot stop a person with a vision in Jesus' name. If you have a vision from Jesus, I am telling you, they can take out our eyes. They can take out everything, but we will still see the vision. Because the vision is from heaven. And we know nobody can stop us until the vision is fulfilled. So Paul knew, and Silas, this is not how their life is going to end. This is not how their ministry will end. You know, there are people today in prison in USA and among other places for miscarriages of justice. Some of them were young. They're in prison. Who knows? Maybe one of them may hear this message today. And then, you know, it's heart-wrenching. And they're put away for years. A big mistake happened. It's a tragedy. But let me tell you, when you are in the good, acceptable, and perfect will of Jesus, nobody can lock you up for long. It's not possible. There's no prison made for such people. Prisons are not made to hold the people who Jesus calls with a vision. Those prisons will shake. Those prisons will tremble. Those prisons will be afraid of such prisoners, because they are not prisoners. They are prisoners of Jesus. Prison will never keep a prisoner of Jesus. What happened to you, prison? Why are you afraid? Because I have a prisoner of Jesus. I am not made to hold such prisoners in Jesus' name. Praise God. You know, we need to have this confidence by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's be certain that whatever anointing Jesus gave us, whatever call, it will happen. Say it will happen. It will happen. My life will not end the way the world thinks, the judge thinks, the jailer thinks, eh? The government thinks. No, my government is called Jesus Christ. My judge is called Jesus Christ. He will decide what will happen in my life and your life. Can you say amen? Stop stressing. Stop worrying in Jesus' name. We are not accidents. We should not use the word lucky. I hate the word lucky. Oh, I'm so lucky. We are not lucky. If you're lucky, you're in trouble. I don't want to be lucky. I want to have the favor of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to be in the good, acceptable, and perfect will of Jesus. There is nothing about luck here. No luck. We don't believe in luck. Luck means today you are lucky, tomorrow you are unlucky. What is that in Jesus' name? Do you pray and say, Lord, it's okay, Lord. I was unlucky, Jesus. What? In Jesus' name. There is no lucky or unlucky with Jesus. We are in the good, acceptable, and perfect plan of Jesus. Finish. Praise God. That's why Paul and Silas are worshiping in prison. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Why did David get up when he was told that the child died? Because he knows life must continue. He must be in the good, acceptable, and plan of God. He was not in the good, acceptable, and plan, so it went wrong. Now, repent, get up in Jesus' name. Go in the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't let this happen again, David. Until he died, it did not happen again. This is Christianity. Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul didn't do anything wrong. He's in prison for Jesus. He has no problem. The prison has a problem. Why are you afraid of prison when prison is afraid of you? That day, the God of Peter, Paul and Silas destroyed the prison. Do you know he destroyed the prison? That's what I'm saying. Prison was afraid of them. Don't put the apostles in prison. It will cost a lot of money. You will not have a prison. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. This is the power of the gospel. Did Jesus not say all power is given in his name? You better listen, Philippi. You Greek people, you need to listen to this Paul, what he's saying. There is power with this people. Amen. This Jesus' power can destroy every prison in your country. Oh, praise God. What a powerful God. Can you imagine how frightened everybody was that day of the God of Paul? Jesus is powerful. Jesus is powerful. Very powerful. You know, the world, the world doesn't understand. Soon he's coming back. They will understand how powerful Jesus is. Jesus is not someone to joke with. He's God Almighty. He's Alpha and Omega. When we say Alpha and Omega, means every power there is in the universe, it's in his name. It's in his hands. Will we not be afraid of this God? Look, the Philippian jailer is a very powerful man. He's a soldier. He knew. There is no discussion. He was supposed to be dead. You know, according to the Roman law, if you allow prisoners to escape, you better kill yourself, because that is a punishment. They will come and kill you. So when the earthquake happened and he rushed and he saw the prison open, he realized. They ran away, and he must kill himself. And when he was going to kill himself, he heard a voice which saved him. The voice of the apostles must save people, because this is the voice of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, Jesus came into this world to save people, not to condemn people. We should speak to them before they commit suicide. We should speak to them before they hurt themselves. We should speak to them before they despair in the name of Jesus. You know, twice in my life, I was driving a taxi in those days, 25 years ago. I picked up one lady. She was just going around in circles. I asked her, ma'am, where are you going? She told me, actually, nowhere. I decided, if I don't meet someone who gives me a reason to continue to live, I would kill myself tonight. And I called for a taxi, and you came, because I was speaking to her about Jesus. I was speaking to her about the meaning of life. She was asking me questions. She was not young. She was in her 40s. I did not know she was going to go home and kill herself. And when I heard it, I stopped the taxi. I stopped the meter. I told her, you will not pay anything. Let me pray for you. Let me talk to you about Jesus. God gave us the gift of life. When you find Jesus, you will enjoy life, because he came to give us life and life in abundance. The reason you are not happy is because 40 years you are living life on your own, without the God who gave you life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I was preaching to her that night. I'm telling you, I thank God I was the last voice she heard before she almost committed suicide. And the voice of the Apostle Paul was the last voice the Philippian jailer heard. He heard a shout, do yourself no harm. Praise. We're all here. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I think this is our mission for the world today, brothers and sisters. Look at Acts 16, verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. As long as the Church of Jesus Christ is in the world, people should not do themselves any harm. Ah, can we say amen? As long as the Church of Jesus is in this world, people should not harm themselves. Praise God. But I'm afraid sometimes the church is not shouting loud enough. The church is not shouting. We are seeing people trying to kill themselves. And we are saying, God forbid, nothing. And the world is saying, die in peace. You know, now they even give them euthanasia, mercy killing, all these euphemisms. Horrendous. You can go to Switzerland and get assisted dying. You can go to Holland and get assisted dying. What is this? Life belongs to Jesus. And we as a church should tell people, do thyself no harm. Listen, there is a God. He's the Almighty God. He made you for his pleasure. Do you know that your existence pleases Jesus? Can you imagine? Tell that to yourself. Tell that to yourself. Your existence is a source of pleasure for Jesus. Because the Bible says in Revelation 4:11, thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created. For thy pleasure. Say, I am made for the pleasure of God. Be pleasing to Jesus. Hallelujah. We are not a burden for Jesus. We should not be. That's why Jesus told the Saint Paul in the beginning, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Praise God. In other words, stop displeasing me and begin pleasing me. And now in Philippi, Jesus is pleased with Paul. Amen. Be a source of pleasure for Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. This is the source of happiness. People wonder why, no matter what you go through, why are you happy? Praise God. I was at the, we call it NRK, the main, like the BBC of Norway, this Wednesday. They wanted to interview me because I was in the newspaper some time ago about my whole life story. And the guy was invited me to speak to the journalists. So all the journalists were there. It's like in London going to speak to the BBC journalists. So they asked me, how is it that you've been through so much pain and problems and you are still happy? You smile, you laugh. I told them because one, my faith. You know, they don't like to hear this in Norway, but I'm not here to make anybody happy or pleased. I'm here to tell you the truth about my life. You invited me. He's the boss of this broadcasting company. And I told him, first, my faith. And secondly, yes, you know, I think I got a good upbringing because God sent me to the right school to know him and to give me a proper military type of discipline. From the age of 7, I've lived on my own. Age of 7. I've never been spoiled. I've learned to take care of myself with the help of Jesus. So when you have experienced everything alone from the age of 7, there's not much which frightens you or makes me disturbed for a long time. No, no, no. You become tough. I'll be honest. You become like a soldier. So when they heard it, the guy said, oh, that's difficult for us to follow that. And everybody laughed. I said, yeah, I think so. But it's not difficult to be a Christian if you want to be a Christian. That's the reality. But, you know, it's not like be accept my faith and just to be tough. No, I cannot make you tough. Jesus will make you tough. Who made the Apostle Paul tough? Who made Peter tough? It's Jesus. When Paul said we are soldiers of Christ, hallelujah. It's our God. He has all power. He's able to make you strong for him. He's able to make you bold for him. Praise God in Jesus' name. So, you see, when Jesus blessed us and made us strong, the broadcasting company is asking me, how did you become so strong? Isn't that amazing how God works? God is good. Hallelujah. Well, before I went and I prayed, when I left, I said, I give you the glory, Jesus. Amen. You know, he's opening doors everywhere. I won't be surprised if tomorrow the prime minister will invite me or the king. I'll tell them the same thing. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is here in me and wants to talk to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's all we have for the world. Let's not pretend we have anything more than Jesus. We have Jesus for them. If they don't want, we have nothing more to give you. So the thing is, in prison, Paul was worshiping Jesus. Let me tell you one thing that we learn from the Apostle Paul. When you are suffering for the sake of the gospel, don't complain. People are watching you. The prisoners were hearing them. At midnight, Paul and Silas sang hymns. They prayed and sang unto the Lord. All the prisoners heard them. In other words, you see, if they were quiet, the prisoners would speak dirty things. The prisoners would sing dirty songs. These are hardened criminals, seasoned criminals. What do you think they're going to? So the criminals were shocked. They said, what? Are these guys singing? They're happy. What are they saying? They're singing songs to some guy called Jesus who saves from sins. They were surprised. What? Are these guys not sinners? Are they not evil? How, why did they come here? No, we heard they came here because he cast out the evil spirit, the spirit from that girl. The prisoners must have been shocked. These are murderers. You see, when he saw the vision of the man of Macedonia, this is the right place to come to. This is where you have the biggest sinners in the prison. Have you thought about it? You know, when the man said, Paul Boiteo, this man of Macedonia is calling from the prison, praise God, hallelujah. Where else do you think the biggest sinners are? So, I remember what I said, good, acceptable, and perfect will. Sometimes we Christian may end up in prison and we think, oh my goodness, Lord, why did you bring me here? You are supposed to witness for the captives. Didn't you forget? Did you forget what Jesus said? He came to set the captives free. Where are the captives? Both physically and spiritually, they're in the prison. So they came to the right place. Through the prayers, what do you think Paul was praying that night? Is he praying for himself? Is he saying, Lord Jesus, please deliver me. I have been put in this prison wrongfully. Lord Jesus, save us. We are good people. These are bad people. Lord Jesus, we don't want them to beat us. Do you think this is what he was praying? It says in Acts 16:25, and at midnight, somebody said midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. I am telling you, they must have prayed purposely for these people. Amen. Lord Jesus, you've brought us to the right place. These people are murderers. These people are criminals. They are bound by the power of sin. Have mercy on them, Jesus. Bring them to a place of repentance. Don't you think Paul was praying something like this? Or? And they were listening. They were shocked. Is he praying for us? They must, and they became quiet. You know, such people, I'm sure, in prison, they are wicked people. They often are hardened criminals, full of the worst imaginable sins that you can think of. Don't you think they would have shouted them down? Shut up! Made noises, cursed. But why do you think they were quiet? Something about the prayers of Paul and Silas. Something about their worship. They saw people who were beaten, bloodied. They saw them with tears, not praying for themselves, praying for these prisoners. It must have touched them. They became quiet. They said, how are these people thinking about us when they should be thinking about coming out of prison? These are foreigners. These are Jews. Why are they worried about us, Greek people? Have you thought about it? God is good. God is good. Nobody cried for these people. Nobody prayed for these people. That day, the prisoners knew there is something here. The mercy of God has come in the form of Paul and Silas. You, brother, you, sister, you are the mercy of Jesus Christ embodied, personified. Today, somebody may be crying to Jesus, to God, saying, oh, help. They don't know, maybe the Lord is, help me, oh God. And you will be sent to them. You are the mercy of Jesus for them. So these men in prison heard the cries. You know, there is nothing which touches a person more than when they hear somebody crying for them, praying for them. I remember once the son of a preacher many years ago who told me that. I said, what made you a serious Christian? He said, you know, one day I passed by my father's room and I heard my father crying and praying for me. And he prayed in such a way, I went down to my room and I started to cry. And I gave my life to Jesus. You know, the best prayers are the ones you pray for souls who cannot pray for themselves. when you wrestle for those who can never pay you back. Paul and Silas are crying for prisoners in Greece. They're Jews. They have nothing to do with them, but through Jesus Christ, we have everything to do with everyone. There is no Jew, no Greek, no Gentile, no male, no female. When it comes to souls, it's a soul. Hallelujah. May the Lord give us this apostolic spirit, not only apostolic doctrine, apostolic spirit. I'm afraid there are too many Christians who have the apostolic doctrine, but they put it in the museum. They put it in the museum. And they walk around and they don't have apostolic tears. They don't have apostolic burden. They only have the apostolic doctrine, which they locked up in the museum of apostolic doctrine. Sorry to speak this way. I want to challenge us. Saints of God, there is always one thing in the Christian life we can never do enough. It is to reach out to the lost and the dying. And I'm showing you in this message, you know this message, but from different angles, what it cost the apostles. Today, Europe may say we are Christian, many of them are not, but how did Christianity come to Europe? It came through the story that I'm sharing with you. It came with pain. It came with tears. It came with blood. It came with loss of freedom. It costs for the gospel to come somewhere. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us to pay the price of necessity. What price will you pay for the gospel? That is the question. Praise Jesus. Without somebody who pays the price, the gospel will not come. So the Apostle Paul and Silas prayed. They sang songs. And suddenly, praise God, there was a shaking. And you know, this is not just an earthquake. An earthquake doesn't really destroy all the handcuffs. What kind of an earthquake is that? Praise God. When is the last time an earthquake happened and people's handcuffs and were just unshackled? No. This is a Jesus quake. Let's call it by its correct name. Earthquake is a natural phenomenon. Jesus quake is a supernatural phenomenon. Ha! We need a Jesus quake. Say, we need a Jesus quake. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. May Jesus shake some prisons in Europe. May there be a Jesus quake in your city. A Jesus quake in Toronto. A Jesus quake in London. A Jesus quake, hallelujah, in every city. Praise God. You know, Jesus did what he did because he wanted to make sure there was no misunderstanding. No misunderstanding. When Jesus moved, it was clear. This is Jesus. Jesus has come to town. Hallelujah. Jesus is in Philippi because Zeus could not do this. Apollos could not do this. Aphrodite could not do this. None of them could do this. They couldn't even cause an earthquake. But Jesus of Nazareth, hallelujah, who came with these two Jewish preachers, hallelujah, he has power. Amen. This power is not coming from Israel. It's not coming from Jerusalem. It's coming from heaven. Jesus who died, now glorified. Hallelujah. He came with the power of the Holy Ghost. And he's shaking prisons in Europe. Ha! Hallelujah. What is the use of the philosophy of Plato? What is the use of the philosophy of Socrates? Socrates' philosophy never shook a prison. It never delivered a young girl from the evil spirit. These people themselves were bound by all kinds of spirits. But the Apostle Paul came with the anointing of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, The one in whom dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He came in his name. He demonstrated his power, his salvation, his glory. Praise God. In Philippi, there is no prison big enough to arrest the gospel. There is no power big enough to stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. No. And so, before the man killed himself, Paul shouted, "Do thyself no harm." And I said, this is the job of the church. We need to shout. There are people killing themselves. There are people taking medicines before they sleep. They can't sleep without medicines. There are people who, you know, can't function without pharmaceutics. In the name of Jesus, do thyself no harm. In the name of Jesus, to the alcoholic, to the drug addict, we have a message for you. Do thyself no harm. Jesus Christ delivers you. Jesus Christ has the power to set you free. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you do not need alcohol. You don't need drugs. You don't even need sleeping medicine, in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ is sufficient for you. I mean, how did people sleep 500 years ago? Nobody took sleeping pills. How did people even sleep 200 years ago? It's like today we can't function without some white tablet. God have mercy. They all are white. I mean, in the sense, you know, I have a headache, there's a white tablet. I can't sleep, white tablet. We don't even know what is inside. What is inside? Nobody knows. Only doctors know, and you know, the people who make it. I'm just trying to tell you, please. You know, recently I read in the newspaper that this melatonin, whatever you call it, which we use to, you know, you need it to be able to sleep. So when people travel and you have jet lag, you go to the pharmacy and over the counter, you can get in Norway between 1 milligram mg to 5 mg is a maximum, not more than 5. And so once in a while, I used to take that before, especially with jet lag. And then I read in the newspaper that that research is showing that can cause heart attack. You see? Something which is supposed to be harmless over the counter is now causing heart attack. Said no more in Jesus. Even that, forget it. It's harmless. No. We don't want to be addicted to anything unnatural. This is how I plan to live in Jesus' name and die. May God help us. I'm here to say, let's be dependent only on Jesus. Do thyself no harm. You say, how did you come on to white tablets or whatever? Do thyself no harm. Praise God. Whether it's a big harm or a small harm. Let Jesus Christ be your peace. Let Jesus Christ be your sleep. And I'm telling you, I sleep well now. Because it's all a matter of just forcing yourself one day to wake up at the right time. I'm telling you. They call it the circadian rhythm or whatever. So the body is lazy. I mean, it's lazy. It needs to be disciplined. We need to put it in a prison in Jesus' name of sorts. Say, you'll sleep at this time and you'll wake up at this time. It will solve your problem. Amen. So all these medicines they want to give us for every strange habit, every strange problem, they seem to have a tablet. In the name of Jesus, do thyself no harm. Amen. I started by saying, do thyself no harm. The world is killing themselves. The church needs to shout. But I also spoke to the church. Do yourself no harm in the church. Don't forget Jesus Christ saved you from whatever your problem was. Don't go back to it. In Jesus' name. Have nothing in common with it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Have zero tolerance policy. with everything which is the enemy of our mind, enemy of our soul, enemy of your body, say no in Jesus. Finish. You will be healthier. You will be better. You will be blessed for it. We have nothing in common with the world. We have nothing in common with sin, nothing in common with evil. Anything which damages you, in Jesus' name. Let me conclude. We talked about the Church of Philippi. We know what a powerful foundation this church had. And the Roman soldier was going to kill himself because he could see that, you know, first he couldn't see. And then when he saw that everybody's still there, why do you think the prisoners didn't leave? Because they knew what was going on. They knew this is a, you know, why will you go out when the same power can bring you back? You know, this power with Paul and Silas, they were afraid of it. What power is there that shakes the ground, opens all the doors, and removes your handcuffs? Look, these are crazy people, but they're not that crazy. They're not, oh, wow, let's run. No, no, no. They know. They knew. They heard the prayers of these people. They knew this is something which is not just about physical freedom. Amen. Amen. It's not only about physical freedom. Today in the West, we have too many people who only believe in physical freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom to move your body here and there, run to train. A lot of physical freedom in Europe. But where is the freedom of the soul? Where is the deliverance of the soul? Europe has no answer. The West has no answer. The US and Canada has no answer to the problem of the soul. Only Jesus Christ has it. It came from Jerusalem. Salvation is of the Jews, praise God. And we are all beneficiaries of this salvation. And we know it's not just about physical freedom. We need spiritual freedom. I've always said it's a very sad statistic. 800 people in a population of 5 million in this country commit suicide every year. It's supposed to be the best country in the world to live in, according to the United Nations. And still, 800 people kill themselves. Perfectly healthy, physically healthy people killing themselves. Why? It shows man shall not live by bread alone. I've always said it's a curse to live by bread alone. If you go and eat nice bread and you don't thank the God who made the bread. If you eat nice food and you can't thank the Lord, it's really, to me, you know, I'll admit, I love cake and chocolate. I don't overindulge. I try to control it. But even when I go to get my chocolate once in a while, I actually smile and say to the Lord, thank you for this chocolate. Thank you for the small pleasures of life, Jesus. And thank you that I'm 54 years old and I still don't have diabetes. That's a miracle, Jesus. Hallelujah. I have a cake in the refrigerator that I'm going to share with the church tomorrow to thank Jesus for his mercy. I do that once in a while. I just am full of gratitude to Jesus. I thank him for a little chocolate. I thank him for a little cake. Every good gift comes from above. Every perfect gift comes from above. He's good. You know, because when I was 7 years old, all the way to the age of 15, I was very poor. I had no money. I used to daydream about chocolate and cake. So it's like I'm taking revenge now. Sorry to share these things with you, but I'm trying to put things in perspective. So everything I'm thankful for. If I have a pair of shoes, I keep it for 20 years. People laugh at me. I tell them, you don't understand. I was very poor. But it now means a lot to me that God gave. I take care of every small thing God gives me. And I every day thank him for it. I'm not worthy, Lord. You're so kind. So, you know, we thank the Lord for everything. And that's how you enjoy life, because people who are very rich today, they're tired of everything they have. It gives them no joy. Don't think just because you have things, you're going to be happy. You need Jesus to help you to enjoy things in this life, even small things. Amen. So these prisoners knew they don't want to leave the prison and go back to their same lives. They're going to come back to prison again. You know that prisoners, when they're released, they come back again. Because the prison is in them, in their soul. Sin is the prison. Sin is the prison. So they knew, today, we are not going anywhere. The gospel of Jesus Christ has come to prison. We want to leave prison with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Life has no meaning without Jesus. Even chocolate has no meaning without Jesus. You say, today, what's wrong with Brother Paul? He's preaching about chocolate. For me, Jesus is everywhere, by the way. He's everywhere. Hallelujah. If he's not in something, I'm not interested. Because it doesn't give me any interest. I don't get any joy. But if I can put Jesus in it, it's worthwhile. So the prisoners decided that day, we are not leaving prison without Jesus. We want to leave with whatever these guys have. Whatever these guys have been eating, we want to eat the same thing. Whatever these guys have been, something is there today. Jesus came to prison today. Oh, blessed day when Jesus visits us in prison. Do you know the Apostle Paul and Silas did not leave prison alone? I'm sure they left with all those prisoners. I'm sure that's how the church started. Maybe the church of Philippi was filled with prisoners. Hallelujah. It's the first church in Europe. They will never forget how the church began. That's why the Apostle Paul always used to write to them, I'm your father, he would tell these churches. Don't forget how your church started. Oh, they must have remembered. When they're old, they told the young people. Let me remind you, Apostle Paul and Silas are not just Jews. Forget Jews. We were there when they were beaten and thrown in prison and they were praying and singing psalms and there was an earthquake. Can you imagine how many people they told this story to? May the Lord help us to establish new churches, and may they have a Jesus quake. Powerful beginnings of the church. Hallelujah. I know Bishop Solomon in India. When I went the first time in 2003. At that time, Brother Wilson and others were small children. But I remember hearing the stories about how the church in India started. Powerful testimony. I wish Bishop Solomon was here to tell us the story. I've shared it all over the world. Miracles happen. Amen. Powerful things you can't imagine. Sister Martha, her story. The devil used to make her move like an animal. Through her, the devil used to make Brother Vinod write a book. Imagine a devil's book. And then when Bishop Solomon came, he cast out the demon, and many pastors could not cast out this demon. And then he told her, you must be baptized in Jesus' name. There is only one God. You know, other pastors could not cast out because they were believing in the Trinity. And you know, Sister Martha said the devil came out of her after some time, when Bishop Solomon was not there, and he burned her back. She was screaming. The skin was coming off her back. But her husband could not see it. Let me tell you, this is a real world. Outside of Jesus, it's a terrible world. Don't go outside of Jesus. Brother Wilson is here. He can confirm these stories. Powerful stories in the Church of India. Another time, the Spirit came down and just filled the room, and people's earrings were coming out. Gold, bangles, all the gold. Cluck, 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 flying around. This is how the church in India started. Am I right, Brother Wilson? Praise God. Maybe you put a message in the, and a man in the, in the chat room. Praise God to confirm. And if I'm wrong, don't write anything. I'm joking. But the point is, yes, he said he listened the story of Sister Martha. Brother Samuel also. God bless Brother Samuel is here. He also knows this story. Let me tell you, it's not only in the days of the Bible. When we are reading the book of Acts 16, it happened in India, many of these things. It happened in many countries. Jesus is alive. He's working right now. Hallelujah. He will do it again and again until he comes back in Jesus' name. Praise God. God is good. We serve a mighty God. His name is Jesus. He is all sufficient for us. He's the Alpha and Omega. You don't need anything outside of him, because that's why we believe in one God. Because one God should be powerful enough. Why do we need two more gods? They don't exist. And if God is three, that means he's not all powerful. They're sharing power amongst themselves. But we believe in one God. This is our holy commandment. And his name is Jesus. Because this one God saves us from our sins. Call upon his name. This is what Paul told the jailer. And this jailer was baptized in Jesus' name. That is what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. By the way, we are still calling upon the name of the Lord. We are still being saved. Every day, we were calling on the name of Jesus in repentance. We call on the name of Jesus in our belief that he's the one God. We call on the name of Jesus to be baptized in Jesus' name. We call on the name of Jesus to receive the Holy Ghost. We call on the name of Jesus when we repent, when we witness to people, when we pray, when we fast, when we eat. Call upon the name of the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This is our gospel. This is our pride. This is our identity. This is our foundation. This is our future. Praise God. Hallelujah. I hope you love your identity. I hope you love your Jesus. Say, my Jesus. He's our Jesus. He's collectively ours and he's individually ours. Know your greatest inheritance, your greatest treasure is Jesus. In this time of the year, when people are going around Christmas, I don't know what they're giving to each other. Mostly, I'm sorry, but people are giving plastic to each other. It's just plastic. It's the season of plastic. Even their Christmas tree is plastic. Their little Jesuses are plastic. God have mercy. It's plastic season. We don't need plastic. We need the living God. The real Jesus, the Jesus of Bethlehem, the Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus of Jerusalem, the Jesus of the New Jerusalem, the Jesus of Armageddon, the Jesus of Patmos. This Jesus we want, hallelujah. Not a plastic Jesus, plastic season. I feel sad. I'm not saying don't celebrate Christmas, but please remove the plastic. The artificiality, it's dead. You know, I'm hearing the news in the car and everybody's complaining in Norway. They are tired of Christmas. They're tired of the commercialization. Many people are saying they become depressed. The number of suicides go up. This proves it's nothing to do with Jesus, what they're doing. That's why at this time of the year, we encourage you to gather together with the people of God. The best way to spend Christmas is to put the Christ in Christmas. Amen. The reason the world is suffering is they remove the Christ out of Christmas. They made it about PlayStation. They made it about plastic. How do you think you're going to be happy? The gift is Jesus. If you remove that, you are trying to replace Jesus with something else. It's a sin. Amen. So we thank God for this season of the year. If you give it to Jesus, you'll be blessed. I'm not saying it to condemn the world. I'm saying it because I feel so sad for them. I really wish they knew what Jesus means, what Bethlehem means. They put the Star of Bethlehem. What is the star for? The star means you're a wise person following the star, and it will lead you to Jesus. But you know what star they are following? A star which is leading them to a Christmas tree. And under the Christmas tree, there is plastic. This is the star they are following. Not the star of Bethlehem, the star of plastic. God have mercy. And then they're wondering why we don't like Christmas. Why it's a time of sadness. The wise men rejoiced when they followed the star of Bethlehem. I see in every house there is a star of. I want to ask them, what is this star for? Where is it leading you? Is it leading you to plastic gifts or Jesus? I hope for us, the star has led us to Jesus. Don't go beyond Jesus. Say we have found him. We are happy with him. He's our gift. Praise God. If you have gifts, give it to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, like the wise men. We don't judge anybody. If you want to celebrate Christmas, do it. But do it biblically. Say, like the wise men, I brought gifts. This is for you, Jesus. Amen. And give it to your brother or sister or your child or whatever. We have nothing against them. But don't remove Christ out of your celebration. Otherwise, like these people, I got tired. Every day they're speaking, people are complaining. They set up a telephone for people to call who are depressed at this time of the year. Because the more there is lights, the season of lights, the more there is celebration, people realize how miserable they are. Some of the elderly people remember the time when they were younger and there was so much activity, all their children visited them. But now they're alone in the old people's homes. God have mercy. It's sad. It made me cry. I pray the West will return to Jesus and understand the meaning of Bethlehem, of the Word made flesh. This should be the season of the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. We should be thankful. We are not commanded to celebrate, but some people want to. We have nothing against it, but focus on Jesus. If a man will keep a day holy unto the Lord, make it holy unto the Lord, the Apostle Paul said to the Romans, Romans 14. You know, he knew the Europeans love to celebrate things, so he said, make it to the Lord. Jesus bless. Thank you for your patience. We're already over time. Why don't we close our eyes, just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this message. We pray that you will guide us and lead us like the Apostle Paul and Silas. Give us a vision of the man of Macedonia, the man of the cities where we live, the towns where we live. Surely there's a man of Macedonia somewhere crying, Paul, come over and help us. I pray, Lord, that we will go in that vision. Help us to hear the cry of the lost. Help us not to be selfish. Help us not to be cowards. Help us to be courageous, because it is worth paying a big price for a soul. What will a man give for his soul, you yourself asked. Lord Jesus, we are challenged today by the example of the great Apostle Paul, a man of a great God, who called him, who showed him mercy, who anointed him. You showed him how great things he should suffer for your name's sake. We thank you for Silas. We thank you for his example. We say we are apostolics. Help us to follow the example of the apostles. My Lord, anoint us for this work. Lead us in this season where many people gather in the shopping malls. Help us to be at the right place at the right time. Help us to share with them the name of Jesus. Remove fear of their faces as you did with Jeremiah. Help us, my God, to boldly proclaim, fill us with love for lost souls. And we will give you the praise and the honor and the thanks for all of this. For we lay it all before your altar. May it come up as a sweet smelling incense before your throne. All of this we pray in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the one and only God, our Savior. The church says amen, amen. Jesus bless you. We thank the Lord for this last Saturday of November. And as we go into the final month of this year, a time of reflection, a time where we rest and we look back and we gather in Jesus' name. We invite you, if you can, please join us in Sweden, Stockholm, the end of the year. The dates have been publicized on our website. It's the right place to be. And we encourage each other. We look back. We thank the Lord for the year that is gone. And we look forward to the new year. You know, I told the church last weekend, I said last Sunday, 25 years I've been ministering in Europe. And 25 years, I haven't been to a funeral of someone who is a brother or sister in our church. I haven't attended. It just shows you how God has looked after us, year in and year out. He didn't take somebody prematurely. He kept us as the apple of his eye, protected us during the COVID. He has been good to us. His mercy endures forever. And every year we look back and we thank him. We count our blessings and we honor him. And we, like Moses from Deuteronomy, we read all the blessings God gave us and we say thank you. And then we close the account with Jesus. Say close the account with Jesus for 2025. 2025 will never come back. Jesus will close the door. Let Jesus bring closure. Thank him for giving us 2025. The things you are not able to accomplish, may he help you to accomplish it next year. We will go into 2026 with Jesus. We don't dare to go into the new year without Jesus. May he give you a new time of blessing. May he give you the desires of your heart in the new year. May you be more fruitful for his name, more than ever before in 2026. May he rain down abundantly upon you. I know I didn't get Brother Lash's permission to say this, but I look back years ago at how he was struggling, I was struggling, and God has blessed us today. When I went to Holland and seen like the Queen of Sheba who came to visit King Solomon, there was no breath. I was overwhelmed and I was thanking the Lord because I remember the difficult years. But we look back and we remember and we thank the Lord. We remember. Lord, we remember. I remember. I will never not remember. It's a sin for me. So every year, this time of the season, when we come close to December, I'm overwhelmed with the goodness of Jesus. I want to reflect and cry and thank him and bless him. He's really good. If he decides to take me in 2026, I cannot cry like Hezekiah. Hezekiah was 36 years old. I'm 54. God has done so much, blessed so much.